You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of
Knockouts
and
Three Counts.
Oh. Yeah. Tony's kind of letting you in a little bit on the behind-the-scenes stuff, but we got it covered. In the studio, it's only me today.
Because I never hear the song playing.
Yeah.
We got to do this right.
Don't worry, producer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Knockouts and Three Counts. I'm Kyle.
Knockouts and Three Counts.
You got to say it. All right, there we go.
Producer Randy didn't count me in, so it's not my fault. Anyway,
you heard the music.
You got to do the Wayne's World count in.
It's always the same intro. When the music fades, you start talking.
I don't hear the music on my end.
Not you, him.
We've pissed Randy off. But anyways, welcome to another episode.
Randy, if I want to get a car, no.
Welcome to another episode of Knockouts and Three Counts. And as you can see, if you're
Knockouts
watching
Knockouts and Counts.
Yeah, what he said. And if you're watching us live, as you can see, Devin and the other Kyle and Kevin don't love us today because it's only me in the studio.
And you can see my picture.
Yeah, at least you can see Tony's picture. All right. But
Rat Pack.
Yeah, Rat Pack. We've got in studio, you've got me, White Kyle, Sugar Kyle. You can find me at
And
Detroit.
Producer Randy.
Yes, sir. And producer Randy, who is trying to keep me in line in here. You can find me
producer
on
Randy, give him your social medias.
Yeah, Randy's not by the microphone. But you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT. Find me on Facebook at Kyle Collison. Look us up, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast on Facebook, at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram, and at KO3CPod.com. Check that shit out. And on the line, we got Mr. Tony Thunder. How you doing, brother man?
That's me.
So
I'm doing all right. Answer your question.
Yeah.
My social media, I'm Tony Thunder on Facebook, at @_TonyThunder on Twitter. Right, Randy? If not, you can find it on KO3CPod.com.
That's KO3CPod.com.
That's what I said.
Eventually.
All right.
Producer Randy is coming out with fire today.
Yeah, he went to the mic specifically to get on my case.
Something like that.
We also want to thank Chris Randy for putting together that website, you know. And
yes, sir.
He hasn't checked out the one I sent him, but you know.
Get your hair cut or no?
We appreciate.
Oh, shit.
Did you cut your hair or no?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
I look just like I do in that picture, except my afro's out.
So,
but yeah, man, we here, if you want to rent a wrestling ring for your bar mitzvah, your birthday, Jesus' birthday, Passover, the other day after Passover, Easter, I don't know, you want to rent it for a funeral, we don't care. It is rentwrestlingring.com, even though Merle does not listen to the show. Thank you, Merle, anyway. I still shout you out. And if you want to get a car, producer Randy, how do I get a car?
You should go to southfieldqualitycars.com. Look up the car you want, find it, go into the store and mention code 19309 for $500 off.
1939. Oh, 1939.
Okay, and then I'm gonna kick you in the dick.
No, AJ and Shinsuke already did that.
Yeah, now you can't do it no more. You can't do it no more.
That's copyright infringement, motherfuckers.
Hey, you didn't copyright it. But, man, speaking of that match, man, what did you think about Backlash? What do you think about Backlash?
Since we started with that, let's start with the AJ Shinsuke match. I personally liked it because I don't know about you, but to me, I've always been a fan of when the stories aren't short. I like when they're drawn out and you're like, fuck, nothing happened again. What's going to happen next? I like when they actually have a story to them. So I thought it was cool that AJ, even though he's supposed to be the good guy out of the two of them, you know, kind of was like, fuck you, I'm going to get my get back on him. So I liked it. As far as the match, I mean, I'm interested to see where it goes, but I'm a fan of watching them anytime they go. What about you?
I mean, we have a great tag team coming up as our guests on the show, but I just want to say I was kind of upset that there wasn't any tag team titles on the line. That's the only issue I have with Backlash. Besides that, as you mentioned, the story between AJ and Nakamura is really unfolding, and I'm liking it. You know, there's a lot of people who's complaining, agreed, and, oh, I'm tired of seeing those two. But those same people who complain about that are the same people who love Rock and Austin, Mick Foley and yep, Rock, and Triple H and Foley and Triple H and Austin. Like, those feuds went on for months, like great lengths of time. Like, that's what makes a great rivalry, you know. I like the fact that the last two matches they've had has been draw, pretty much, where both guys just can't seem to beat the other. So I'm really interested in seeing where this is going.
And I like that it wasn't the same finish either.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's definitely something new that they're working out with having the WWE Championship go to draw after draw with two great competitors who've been at each other's neck for a while now, not just in the WWE, but in New Japan, you know.
I don't know about
so
you.
It's definitely interesting to see where this is going.
I don't know about you, but I also like the fact that they're finally getting away from, like, not referencing other companies and stuff. I like that they actually are referencing, like, yo, they had, like, a bomb-ass match over there in New Japan and have talked about, yeah, Shinsuke's work over there. And I didn't know how I was
going to... I think New Japan is one of those companies you can't ignore. You know what I mean?
You can't really ignore them or Ring of Honor. And speaking of that, you know, since we're talking about AJ, I don't know if you saw it. They're starting to acknowledge more than just New Japan. Oh, shit. That must mean the phones are ringing. Hello?
We got a call on the line?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Hey, this is Tim.
Top 10 views, ladies and gentlemen. We got him live on the phone. How you doing, Mr. Hughes?
Oh, hey. Hey, what's up? How are you? What's going on?
Hey.
How's everything?
It's going good, hey, man. We live on the air right now. Why don't you give the people your social medias?
Oh, yes. You can find me on Twitter at Tough Timmy, and you can find me on Instagram at Tough Timmy H, and friend me on Facebook. I'm a friendly guy, Tim Hughes, Facebook.com/ Mr. Good News with a Z.
And we
Mr.
Also,
Good News.
So that's it. That's it. That's what. That's back when I first met you, Tony.
And Tony, we also have another caller with us too, bro.
We were just going over.
We've got another caller too, Tony.
Tony,
I don't know if you watched.
Tony.
Yeah, that's me. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
A little bit.
Yeah, we've got another caller too, bro.
Oh, do we got Mr. Brutal Bob Evans on the line with us as well?
As a matter of fact, you do. What's up, guys?
What's going on? Yeah, you guys chimed in perfectly. Why don't you give the people your social medias?
My social media is, you can find me on Brutal Bob Evans on Facebook, Brutal Bob Evans on Twitter. Instagram is Brutal_Bob_Evans, but I don't use it that much, and Tim yells at me all the time for it. but that's pretty much what I use. I'm more of a Facebook guy anyway, a little bit of Twitter, not too much Instagram, but that's where we stand on that. So, and of course, Hangs with Bob seminar and wrestling page for all our dates and, where we're going to be. So.
Awesome. And ladies and gentlemen, here they are. Tough Guy Inc. We got them here live on they're not in the studio, but we got them live here on the podcast with us.
Yes.
All right.
Sorry.
You got to hear your applause later, Producer Brandon. You got to add the applause later.
Sure.
Now, we were talking, we were just talking about Tim Hughes' early career working with Beyond Wrestling. Where did you originally get trained before starting in Beyond Wrestling?
I was originally trained at a small school called Ace Pro Wrestling in Union City, New Jersey. That's where I was training at that point. But I was also training under Eric Corvus when I started with Beyond Wrestling. So I kind of moved on from that school, and I moved on with Eric Corvus at that point. And yeah, and then after that, I moved on to the Monster Factory. But yeah, so when Beyond Wrestling was happening, I was training under Eric Corvus.
Nice. And you guys, did you guys end up working together, or did you guys team up at any point?
With Eric or with Bob? Where
with Corvus here.
Oh no, I just no, he just lived near my house. No, I didn't end up I just kinda met him through some mutual friends and no, he lived like 10 minutes from my house. So that's how I kinda met up with him.
And you guys did work a little bit together in NWS, right?
Oh, we did, yeah. That's so he helped me get into NWS through that and stuff like that. Wow. The NWS. Oh my goodness. You have done your research, sir. with Johnny Dapper. Yeah. My goodness. That was an experience. Oh man. Yeah. So we ended up doing that through, he ended up helping me get through that promotion and getting me to Beyond and quite a few other promotions when I was in my first year of wrestling.
Nice. Now, Brutal Bob, for the viewers and listeners who may not know who you are, you've been doing this for quite a while, right?
Yes, sir. Celebrated 26 years in February. So, yeah, I've been doing it for quite a while.
Nice. Where were you originally trained, if I may ask?
I was trained in New Bedford, Massachusetts, for a company that preceded, now it's called Top Rope Wrestling. At the time, it was called Yankee Pro Wrestling. And, yeah, just kind of a little mill in the middle of New Bedford, Mass., little tiny city about 50, 60 miles south of Boston on the coast, and about 20 minutes from where I grew up. So didn't have a bad ride to practice every day. And, started training there, and it was really more just some guys that were a little bit better than me, just kind of starting out themselves, and basically just kind of gave me the basics and got me rolling. So
nice. And I know I did a little research on you as well. You originally started off with Power League Wrestling, right?
Well, I started at Power League Wrestling. Was actually my backyard promotion, and that was we got on public access cable, and we had put our phone number out there if anybody wanted to wrestle with us. And actually the gentleman from Yankee Pro Wrestling called me and said, hey, you guys look like you want to do more with this. And if you want to come practice and learn how to be a pro, come hang with us. And that's pretty much what I did. I went with those guys in New Bedford and never turned back. So
nice. And the public access show you guys were on what we call Talking Wrestling, right?
Well, Talking Wrestling was something that came before all that. That was a buddy of mine, Cody Boynes, and it was a talk show. And that's kind of how, he introduced me to some people in wrestling, and that kind of sparked my interest in becoming a pro wrestler. That was probably 89, 90, and then I became a pro wrestler in 92. So.
Nice. Now, how long has it been that you guys have been teaming up? How did that come together?
We started teaming up in 2015. I attended an ROH seminar slash tryout camp, and they thought it was funny that Bob looked like my dad. They thought that Bob looked like my dad, so they teamed us up, and so Bob was a trainer and coach there. And I paid to do the tryout and seminar, and they thought it was funny, so they put us as a team, and we made it work, and we're still doing it today. So that was in 2015, early 2015.
Nice. I noticed with you being a New Jersey guy, and with Bob being, yes, well, not close to Boston, but
a little bit from Boston. Do you guys ever have any friendly rivalries with the New Jersey-Boston, Massachusetts thing or Massachusetts-New Jersey thing?
No, I'm a Jets fan and he's a Patriots fan, but we keep it pretty respectful on that okay. note. He doesn't, and plus the Jets stink so bad, it doesn't even matter. so it's not even a rivalry, but Bob's always like, he's always good about keeping it civil, because I probably wouldn't be if the choice was mine, I probably wouldn't be so civil, but Bob is like, it's not a big deal. So,
well, I mean, when the Patriots win as much as they do, you know,
I mean, it's hard to hate on the Patriots.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. They just,
well, we spend way too much time driving together and flying together. So you don't really want to get into arguments because it's going to be too long to be sitting in there. So,
especially with me, I'm a tireless arguer.
So true. We had mentioned, you getting into Ring of Honor and stuff like that. Now that Ring of Honor is kind of finally starting to see like the most popularity, I think you've seen it as it's had, you know, what are some of your guys' favorite matches you guys have had in Ring of Honor since you guys have been teaming?
Some of the matches that we've
like
had?
What are your, like, favorite matches you guys have had, you know, as a team?
The favorite matches we have had. I think I really like we were in a gauntlet match, and we got to wrestle the Young Bucks. Yeah, this was in 2016, and I thought that one, it was in Nashville, I thought that one was one of my favorite ones as a team that we got to do. Yeah, so I think that one, and in a singles match, I got to wrestle Michael Elgin. That was my favorite singles match in Ring of Honor. So that was at a live event in Indianapolis.
Is he still with Ring of Honor, or is he straight over in New Japan now?
No, he's just in New Japan now. He's full time with New Japan.
That's what I thought. Bob, what about you?
Let's see, what favorite matches in Ring of Honor that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably, I don't know, we had a couple of, you know, we had we beat a team in Toronto to kick off one of the New Japan tours. And that was a big moment. Some people say we cheated, but I don't remember any of that.
A W is, you know, a W.
Tim might have had his feet on the top ropes. Tim might have had his feet on the ropes. I was trying to push him off. And they looked at it like we were trying to get leverage on it. I was trying to get Tim's feet off the ropes to keep it clean. And unfortunately, the referee didn't see it, but a win is a win. We wrestled coast to coast, and we wrestled a long tag team gauntlet with basically every team in Ring of Honor, and we got to wrestle. That was the only time we got to wrestle the Young Bucks, and that was a lot of fun. You know, get testing yourself against the best is never a bad thing. And we wrestled War Machine and Keith Lee and Shane Taylor and you know, a bunch of great teams. So, you know, Cheeseburger and Will Ferrara and some of the best local talent, some of the best, you know, young guys coming up. So, yeah, it's been a good ride in Ring of Honor.
Speaking, you were talking about
a good ride all over the independent.
You were talking about the gauntlet matches and stuff. You know, I was doing a little bit of reading when I was doing research for the show. Tell me a little bit about when you did the whole Iron Week thing, where you did the seven consecutive 60-minute Ironman matches.
Yeah, it was just I did one in 2009, which most people don't know about. I did that one, and it was six people in 6 days in a row. And then the one in 2012, for my couple months after my 40th birthday, I did seven in 7 days. And it was a lot of fun. It was you know, something I wanted to do. It was a bit of a publicity stunt, a bit of an audition tape. You know, it was one of those that you know, it's always fun to set a record and then break your own record later on, because no one's ever done it. I'm sure somebody will come along and do it. Maybe it'll even be me.
you know, because I always toy with the idea of doing it again. So, but you know, I'm not in the best. You know, I'm in good shape, but I'm not in that the shape I was back then. So I'd have to whip myself back into shape to do that. I've been toying with the idea of doing one again this year, and you know, doing basically a big long charity drive for autism, because my son has autism, so do kind of like an autism awareness type thing. So I'm going to hopefully do that this year. I was hoping to do it in June, but Tim and I are blessed by work, and it's been tough to try to square off a week where you can have all that time and kind of put it in the schedule. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it was challenging, you know. Doing 7 hours worth of wrestling in 7 days isn't the easiest thing in the world to do, but you know, it was a challenge that I put forward to myself, and I was proud that I got through it. So, and a lot of the young guys really, really dug it too, and made them believe that they could do an hour, and it was a lot of fun. So
I'll definitely have to keep my eyes peeled if you end up doing the whole thing with the autism thing, because I actually run an exercise group for kids with disabilities here in Michigan, so I definitely can respect that.
Oh, great. Good for you. Yeah, that's so yeah, and I'm going to try to blow that up on social media and, you know, back on the podcast, maybe I can come back on this one. So
definitely cool.
Yes, sir.
Bob, I just want to say that you're very well known and very respected on Facebook and all over the place for the knowledge and the information you give up and coming guys. We have a running thing here on the show where wherever we have a guest, they add to what we call the locker room etiquette list. a lot of these rules have been broken from Congo Kong saying, make sure you wash your balls, from Shane Taylor saying, was it Shane Taylor that said, keep your baby mamas and girlfriends out the locker room and kids out the locker room?
That was Tornado.
I don't have the list in front of me, but this is a question for both of you guys. If you could add to the list or maybe add on to one of the ones I've mentioned, what would you add on the list to the young and up and coming guys as far as etiquette? I know we covered, you know, shaking hands, why that's important. Like I mentioned earlier, keeping your kids and baby mamas out the locker room, make sure you wash your gear, make sure you wash yourself, things like that. What would you guys add to that list?
I'm going to add, you don't have to shake my hand. That's what I'm going to add to the list. It's just, if you see me from a distance, say hi to me. And then when you have a chance to come up and introduce yourself, because, sometimes when I'm walking into a locker room, there's 12 different guys introducing themselves to me at the same time. And it's so hard to even remember one person's name, let alone all 12 of them. So that would be mine to the list is come see, like, I'll come see you, or like, I'll come say hi to you when it's, you know, when we're both at a time when it's not a lot of people around. That's, I don't know. Cause it just seems it's a lot, I can't remember everybody's name.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Bob, same question?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the biggest thing is, the washing yourself is a good one. Congo Kong came up with that one. That's good. You know, yeah, just keep the drama to a minimum, I guess, on all counts. Just, you know, don't bring personal issues in, and, you know, don't get mad if a match doesn't go well. That's probably a good one to do. Just don't blow up if a match doesn't go well. I've seen too many guys. I mean, I've done it myself too. I've thrown stuff. I've gotten pissed off. Don't overreact. Act like somebody who's been there before. You're going to have bad matches. You're going to have good matches. You know, just kind of keep it pretty even, because, you know, the professional guys that wrestle every day, if they have a bad one, I mean, they're not happy about it. Everybody wants to do a good job, but just kind of move on from it and, you know, just learn from it, move on, and don't get too upset, because, you know, especially just with a young guy or a girl, I mean, we can really rattle somebody if we overreact and get upset and fly off the handle.
I've seen too much of that. Not as much recently, but when I do see it, it's just unpleasant. You don't need to bring that into the locker room. You know, pull the person aside, talk to them, and calm yourself down, because it doesn't look good, and you never know who's watching.
You guys both mentioned...
Absolutely agree with that one.
You guys both had mentioned your match with the Young Bucks. You know, what... I've watched quite a lot of their stuff myself, and like, what were the things that you like most about that match, and like, what really sets them different than a lot of the other teams you guys have faced?
I think that they're progressive thinkers. I think that they think about things that nobody else thinks about. They always have a plan. They always have a backup plan. They always have a backup to a backup plan, and they always just know what's going to happen, and it's hard to, you know, so that's kind of where they are, is that they're able to predict what's going to happen, and that's why they've been so successful.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with everything they've done. And you know, I wanted, when Tim and I got in there, we were like, let's see if these guys really can back it up. And they did. They were, you know, one of the best tag teams we've ever. I think the two best teams we've ever wrestled are them and the Rock and Roll Express. And I think that's putting them in really good company.
Yeah.
I think the Young Bucks are going to go down in the history. I think the Young Bucks are going to go down in history as one of the big game changers in wrestling. I think they already should be in there, but I think they're just going to build on their legacy. And I hope everybody's kind of, instead of knocking, I know there's still a few people out there that kind of naysayers and all that, and without even looking at their wrestling style, just look how much they've changed wrestling and made money and made it possible for people to make money in wrestling, not just themselves, but other people, and shown people the way, you know, kind of the combination in the combination lock of how to break through and how to become a successful independent contractor in wrestling. So it's, just admiration, not only in the ring, but out of the ring, everything they've done. So yeah, it's going to be hard for me to say anything too bad about Young Bucks, except I don't get a chance to talk to them enough and pick their brain. So
that was a great comparison with the Rock and Roll Express, because it's been a long time since somebody like them, where like a tag team has really gotten over the way that they have, because they're running main events pretty much everywhere they're going, even as a tag team.
Well, and I think the Young Bucks are going to, I mean, as game changing as Ricky and Robert were, and they're both friends of ours, Tim and I, you know, become friendly with them over the past couple of years. As game changing as they were, it's the Young Bucks are history makers. They're going to be pioneers. They're going to be right up there with, in my opinion, they're going to be right up there with Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon and all these people that changed wrestling. So, you know, they're really
definitely.
I hope people are watching, and I really do. I hope people are watching, and I hope they realize what they're seeing, history is being made. These last 3 or 4 years are, you know, an education on how much you can get done in wrestling. And now they have their pop figures coming out, and the only non-WWE guys have pop figures. And then they're going to have variations of their pop figures, and they'll sell a bunch of those and just be successful at that too. And it's just crazy. You know, it's fantastic. And they're such good people and, you know, quality guys. I just want to see everybody. It's really hard to, you know, be down on them. So, you know, God bless those guys, and I appreciate everything they've done for me, just kind of educated from a distance as to what should be done in wrestling. So, but yeah, they're going to be right up there. They're top 10 probably history makers by the time they're done.
Nice. I got a two-part question for you, Bob, and a collective question for both of you. We'd like to ask our guests as well, what is it that got them into professional wrestling. Some guys have certain moments. Some guys remember going to their first event. Some guys remember seeing certain guys on TV. What was the moment, guy or event that really made you want to do this? And my second question to you, Bob, since you just mentioned about the evolution of wrestling, I noticed that you had a couple matches with the WWE. What was the evolution like of the locker room and the aura of it from 91 to 2002?
Well, I would say there were two moments that got me into, that wanted to make me be a fan in wrestling. It was I saw a match between the Strongbro brothers and Fuji and Saito when the Strongbros won the title. It was a TV taping, and I've just never seen a crowd go that nuts for something like that. You know, I had to watch sports, and the people were just losing their mind, and I wanted to know why people were losing their minds like that, you know. And I just had never seen a reaction like that. So that kind of got me starting to watch wrestling in a casual way. And then the thing that got me into it the biggest was Piper and Hogan, War to Settle the Score on MTV. I believe it was February 18th, 1985. And it was, you know, the big brawl, and here comes Mr. T and Cyndi Lauper and the whole thing, and here come the cops, and it just becomes this big schmoz that just really intrigued me. I was like, what the heck is going on here? You know, it's craziness. So those were the two things that really got me into wrestling, that made me really want to become a fan. And then as far as WWF, WWE, I was fortunate. I went there first time in 1993, and then I went back several times in the Attitude Era. And then I went, you know, later on in 07 and 09. So it was, you know, big changes then, you know. 1993, they used a lot of job guys, so a lot of enhancement talent. So there were about 20 of us all booked. And then in 1999 to 2002, they used about six of us, and it was almost always the local guys in the area. And I went there quite a bit. I was there about 20, 25 times during that time. And it was really cool seeing all that go on. And then when I went back in 07 and 09, it was a lot like it is now, with like a lot more rehearsals and walkthroughs. And, you know, they'd go through the opening segment. They'd go through, they had to do something really specific. They'd rehearse that. And I was just not used to, the rehearsing aspect of it. Not that I didn't expect us to go through the matches and stuff, but I just didn't go into it was basically like a stage rehearsal. And that took me aback a little bit. I was like, oh boy, it's a whole new ballgame, you know? And then I haven't been in the back of any shows, but I've been to a couple of SmackDowns and Raws and things like that. And it's been, you know, the TV aspect is just so strong now. I mean, it's a TV show. So, and you know, it's good. It's good that it's a TV show. It's just different. You know, there's a lot more to it, a lot more staging and blocking and, you know, wrestling for the hard camera and wrestling for the camera. And this is where you need to be. And this is where we're going to be and all that. But I mean, we do quite a bit of that at Ring of Honor too. It's just, we don't have as many cameras and as many producers, but we still like when people know what's going on and try to capture it on camera for the viewer at home. So, but that's the stuff that I've noticed. The biggest evolution has been that stuff and the promos and, you know, people getting fed a lot more lines and not going as much on the fly. But
right,
again, different business, a lot more TV. So that's the biggest evolution I've seen. So.
Okay. Tim, what about you as far as what got you into wrestling? Was there a moment, a guy, or an angle, or what was it that really made you want to do this?
Yeah, when I was 14 years old, I actually went to a Ring of Honor show, and Ring of Honor was really like what got me wanting to do it. Like I was watching WWE for a little bit, but just casually as a fan with some of my friends, but we found out that Samoa Joe and Homicide were wrestling at an indie show in my town, and it turned out to be Ring of Honor. And yeah, the one match that I remember that was something that was really made me want to do it was the main event of that show, which was Samoa Joe and Homicide versus the Briscoe brothers. And it's just, people were just, as Bob said earlier about the match that really got him into wrestling, people were losing their minds with that match. And cause it was utter chaos. And, and everybody was just losing their minds, and I was losing my mind, and I was like, well, I want to do this because this is, I want to make people feel like this. So yeah, that was really the match that really got me into wrestling.
Nice. Now, I do want to get a little bit outside of wrestling for a minute. I have a little bit of fun with you guys. Tim,
mm-hmm.
Why can Wingstop suck your butt? What happened with that?
Oh, my goodness. So today I had an advertisement on my Facebook page that said the Wingstop in my town was now open because it's been a highly anticipated thing. And then I drive to the Wingstop because I'm going to get some wings. And Wingstop, it says on the door, coming soon. So they're not open yet. So they jumped the gun on their Facebook advertisement.
Oh, man, that sucks.
So that's why.
Oh, come on.
The man wanted some wings. What the hell?
Horrible.
Yeah. Get it together, Wingstop.
Question is, what kind of wings do you like? You like traditional? You like barbecue?
I like traditional. I like the mixture. My favorite one is the one that I get at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's hot barbecue, so it's like that mixture of both the buffalo and barbecue. It's my favorite.
Nice. What about you, Bob? What's your favorite wing flavor?
I would say probably the barbecue, or you know, like a little bit of hot. You know, like a red hot, kind of like that, but not any hotter than that. I can't stand to go too crazy with it.
I guess I'm just plain Jim, dude. But, I like just the regular.
But I love wings. I get them all the time. So
yeah, he does. Everywhere we go, he gets wings.
And then I ate all the wings last time because I didn't know I was sharing.
Yeah,
that's when you just say you were trying to get some protein.
To share them, but
I saved them one.
Bob, many people may not know this, but you studied business. Was that a part of wanting to get into this, or was that something that you had in mind before getting into wrestling?
No, yeah, I guess I needed to find a major in college, and you know, I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit. You know, and then when I graduated, I got into retail management for a little while, and then after I got out of that, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So started delivering papers, and then did the newspaper business for a long time, and just got out of it actually recently, last month. But I had done it for almost 20 years, and I really liked it because when I became a supervisor, they pretty much just left me alone. And I could get up early in the morning and go do my work and do whatever paperwork needed to be done. And then if there was a route that needed to be done, I filled in and did that. And then my bosses left me alone. But just got to the point, guys, where, you know, I'm 45 years old, you know, with two young kids at home and a very nice wife who I actually like to spend time with. It just got to be got to the point where it was just too tiring, you know, too much to... Yeah. You know, I basically went the last 10 years of my life with 4 hours of sleep almost every day. And it was just, it just started to beat me down. And it wasn't, you know, I felt like it was taking some time off my life more than the wrestling was. The problem was I was working 5-6 days a week for the newspaper company. And then they were like, yeah, go wrestle. We support you. Go wrestle. Go have a good time. And I'd go, you know, Tim and I would hop in a car and drive 10 hours somewhere, or we'd hop on a plane and fly somewhere. And I ended up, I'd be working 7 days a week now, going to the wrestling and doing all that. So it's just, it just never stopped. So something had to give. And I was fortunate enough where the wrestling was kind of starting to pay the bills. So I'm kind of got out and became a full-time professional wrestler for the first time ever a month ago, 26-year overnight success. So that's that's where I stand with that.
Well, I want
to
give you a formidable congrats to that, because that's kind of a big thing. You know, that's like the next step that I think every guy in this business wants to take, to where they can wrestle full time and have wrestling pay the bills. That's huge, at least in my eyes.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, it's becoming, and a lot of what Tim and I do in our seminars, I mean,
Tim's not quite there yet, but he's pretty close, and he's a lot closer than he was. I mean, Tim, I think you'll agree, since you and I have talked about this at great length, but Tim's a lot closer than he was before, you know. And you know, it's a question of, it's something we teach in our seminars. A lot of what we do is just give people permission. I call it giving people cosmic permission to succeed, where you're just giving them permission to go, hey, you know, you can do this. This is something you can do. And, you know, it's really kind of more of a merchandise business now than it is the wrestling business. Because the wrestling is, you know, I mean, if there's 200 people there, the economics of the economics, you know, I mean, you're not going to be making a ton of money. But you basically, how you do it is you run it like a rock and roll band, you know, where you play for whatever they give you. And, you know, hopefully you make a little more than that. But in the beginning, you play for whatever they give you, and then hopefully make it up in merchandise by having cool T-shirts and all kinds of stuff to sell. And, you know, basically open up the, what I call the Turkish bazaar, and you get out your stuff and move it along and move to the next town and just make sure you have good quality merchandise to sell and leave people with a good experience, and they'll want to have you back. And if you stack up enough towns, and stack up enough, you know, it starts off as little pieces of money in the beginning, and then hopefully turns into bigger pieces of money. And then if you can just strengthen numbers, you know, it's just all cumulative, add it all up, and then you can make it work. That's the secret. And the secret is just keep plugging away and keep doing it and make an extra $5-$10 here and there every single time you go somewhere. And all of a sudden you doubled, tripled your income in a year just by sheer effort and working harder than the next guy, because you were there and the other guy wasn't. So, and that's pretty much what Tim and I have been doing. We're not best tag team in the world. We're not the best wrestlers in the world, but we're one of the hardest working teams at the things that make us successful. So that's, you know, that's the biggest thing that I told Tim the other day. I said, this has been the funnest and the best ride of my life. And then it's not because of the money. It's because of just, you know, Tim's been right there with me and focused and, you know, helped me along and gets me out of the buildings, because everybody wants a piece of me when I get in a building. They always want to ask my advice, and, you know, and I always feel compelled and responsible to help try and answer everybody's questions as best I can. But Tim also is like, you know, got to be mindful of your time too. We got to get home. We got to get to the next town. So, you know, Tim does a good job of kind of minding my time and our time.
I fake being angry so that we can get out of there on time.
Yeah. You guys got to play good cop, bad cop sometimes, man.
I mean,
yeah.
And that's a cool thing somewhere, that you guys are. I was about to say that's a cool thing that you guys have that dynamic too, because.
Yeah. I'm still a good cop. Don't get me wrong, but I got to play bad cop with Bob sometimes to get him out. That's all. And it's not even that. He appreciates it when I get him out. So
you put yourself out there as a mentor to the world, and then you can't be upset when people ask you to mentor them. So that's why it's very tough for me to kind of tear myself away. But, you know, Tim will be like, well, you know, if you have any more questions for him, you know, they'll do it. You know, hey, Bob, we got to get to the next town, you know, got to get rolling, got to get home, da-da-da, you know,
there's,
I mean.
There's always Facebook Messenger. There's Facebook Messenger. there's a phone. There's 27 different ways you can get in contact with Bob these days, so.
That's true, and people respect that. I mean, you know, we haven't had too many people be disappointed, so we're. You know,
that nobody has been disappointed.
No, and that's what we strive for. So we're, you know, we try to leave places better than how we found them. That's our goal. That's our mission statement every time we step through a door. So,
well, you
and
just...
that's one of the best things too, especially with the way you guys are marketing yourselves and putting yourselves out there, as you said, Bob, to, you know, sell merchandise, and marketing yourself is a big key. But I got to ask you guys one of the most difficult and probably one of the toughest, it may not be tough to you guys, but one of the toughest East Coast questions and kind of back and forth thing going out there, Sheets or Wawa?
Oh, Sheets or Wawa. That's a good question. I'm gonna say, so I'm in the area of both of them, and I'm gonna say Wawa, because I just think Wawa's, and I just had Sheetz this weekend, and Sheetz isn't bad. I like Sheetz, but I think Wawa has better quality food. That's where I'm going. That's where I stand on that one.
Yeah, I'm and I discovered Wawa first, and I think you never forget your first. So I'm gonna go with Wawa as well. So, but it's basic to me. It's Tim might give Wawa an A and Sheetz a B. I'm gonna give Wawa an A and Sheetz an A minus because I think I like Sheetz a little more than Tim does. But but yeah, there's a certain strip of Pennsylvania on Route 80 where you can find one on every single exit. A Sheetz, it's crazy. So. So we got very familiar with Sheetz over the past couple of days, last week, but, and we'll probably deal with that again, right, Tim? Cause I think we're hitting 80 again this week when we go to Indiana. So for a little while, anyway.
Indiana and Kentucky,
so, Indiana, Kentucky. Cool. Yes, sir.
You guys will be out there with, I don't know what promotion it is, but you guys will be going against the Bomb Shelter and Murphy Boys. Is that this weekend or?
Yeah, that's Pro Wrestling Freedom Pro Wrestling Freedom in Jeffersonville, Indiana, which is in an area of they call Kentuckiana because it's very close to Louisville and very close. You know, it's right on that Kentucky Indiana line. So, and it's in the PWF arena, which is a cool little place to see wrestling. I was there a couple of months ago, did a seminar and a show, and it was a lot of fun. Real cool place to watch a show. And then we'll be debuting, making our legitimate Kentucky wrestling debut after efforting greatly to get our wrestling licenses. And we finally did, cut through all the red tape, got our licenses. And we will be officially licensed wrestlers in Kentucky as of May 12th for New South Championship Wrestling. Not to be confused with New South in Alabama. This is New South in Franklin, Kentucky, and we're excited to be a part of that. So, and we'll be in Kentucky again in June too. So, very, very much looking forward to that and meeting some new Kentucky fans and breaking into a new market and another state conquered by the tough guys. So,
are there any teams?
We probably got enough time for probably one more question apiece, Kyle.
That works.
Absolutely.
My question just works for both of you guys. Like, Bob, you had mentioned now that you're finally to a place where wrestling is really paying your bills and that you've been in the game for so long. You know, with all the teams that you guys have already worked with, is there anybody left, like, on your guys' list that are, like, teams that you guys want to, work with before you hang them up or anything?
There's a team in North Carolina. Well, they're all over the South. They're one of the best teams in wrestling, the Ugly Ducklings, and they have the PWX Tag Team Championships, which I work for PWX. I wrestle and I announce for them in North Carolina in the Charlotte area, and I consider that one of the more prestigious tag team belts in wrestling. So, Tim and I would like a shot at those, I'm sure.
We would love
and,
to. Yeah.
Yes. And there's a ton of teams. I mean, I'd love to get another shot at Coast to Coast. Shaheem Ali and LSG, the Kingdom, of course. And I have, I helped train, every member of the Kingdom except for Adam Cole, including the old guard. So, I have a special connection to those guys, and I'd love to test ourselves against, you know, how much we've improved and how much they've improved. Motor City Machine Guns, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't wrestled
the Briscoes as a team yet.
I've known Mark and Singles. Yeah, and I've known Jay and Mark since they were their first match in wrestling. So I'd love to I'd love to test myself against those guys. They're really good friends of mine, but I have a feeling that friendship will be out the window on that day. So, but there's a ton of teams. I mean, best
LAX,
teams in the world up
the,
here.
The new LAX.
Yep, LAX. Sure. Super Smash Brothers. I mean, those guys are always a factor, you know. I saw that they're making their return to Ring of Honor in Toronto, so that should be exciting. You know, geez, Tim, have I forgotten anybody? I mean, you know, Anderson
the Gymnasty
and Gallows.
Boys.
I love the, you know, Nasty Boys.
Anderson
sure.
and Gallows. The Gymnasty yeah. Boys and
the Nasty
North
Boys.
The
Nasty Boys were actually
wrestle,
just in a show here.
I
want to
wrestle the
Gymnasty
Boys and the Nasty Boys. How about that?
Yes. I want to wrestle the Nasty Boys too.
Yes.
I want to wrestle the Powers of Pain.
Yep.
They
Powers
still
of
wrestle.
Pain.
I want to wrestle the Powers of Pain.
We wrestled the Rock and Roll Express. We lost too. So
we
can't,
we
really,
wrestled the Rock,
you can't really laugh about
Express.
That. Yep.
Who else do we want to wrestle?
Oh, you know who? You know who I'd like to wrestle? I'd like to wrestle the former Evolve Tag Team Champions, James Drake and Anthony Henry. I'd love to test our.
Oh yeah.
Ourselves against
oh, that.
You know.
Yeah, those guys are really good too. Yeah, definitely
yeah.
those
two
guys.
Two guys I have a ton of respect for, but I'd love to get ourselves against them. Sure. So there's a lot of great wrestling out there, guys. I mean. And we meet great tag teams. We just met these two tall drinks of water last week called the Main Event, MANE. These guys are both, what, Tim, would you say about 6'5 and 260 apiece?
Yeah. At least.
And they were big dudes and very athletic, you know, and coming out of the Pittsburgh area. So we should tell the people to look for them. I'm going to see what I can do for them as far as, you know, putting them in touch with some people I know around wrestling and try to get them some more action out of the, you know, Pennsylvania area. Because these guys need to get out, you know, and that's one of the things we always push at our seminars is for guys to get out and see the world and realize that there's a ton of awesome wrestling out there and a lot of good competition and a lot of good. Yes, sir. Hashtag through the drives. I mean, it's not coming to you. You got to go to it. So. And, you know, you get to see all these areas and you get to see all the cool stuff that's going on in wrestling and crowds are up and, you know, people are really working hard to establish themselves. And this is going to be a very big time in wrestling where we redefine the professional wrestler and what he's all about. And I think when Triple H takes over, I think he's actually going to make WWE more available and more flexible. I think you're going to see more WWE guys that aren't doing anything. I think you're going to see them back on the road, back doing independent shots like they did in the Attitude Era, nice. You know, where guys are doing third-party bookings and stuff. I think you're going to see a lot of that. And I think you're going to see guys float in and out a lot more. It's going to be an interesting time. This is all just blind predictions by me, but I think that's what we're looking at is a much more wide-open business, you know. And it's going to be good. It's going to be scary and exciting and all those things rolled into one. But there's a lot of good wrestling.
For one, I'm looking forward to it myself.
Yeah, I hope people get a chance to go out and support their local independent wrestling scene because not only we see great guys like us and some other guys, but, you know, you get to see people start from the beginning. You know, it's kind of like watching minor league baseball and seeing people start. And, you know, you might see some future world champions right in front of you and say, hey, I was there when he was wrestling in front of a couple hundred people at the VFW Hall, and now look at him, he's at WrestleMania. So, you know, we got to see, Tim and I got to see a few of our friends at WrestleMania this year, and it was pretty fun. So,
that was a question I actually wanted to ask you about, because you had mentioned that with some of the guys from the Kingdom. I was at WrestleMania. We went to TakeOver and stuff like that, too. Like, what's it like for you to see, like, Mike Bennett up there, you know, Adam Cole, you know, all those guys? Like, you know, what's it like to see them up on that big stage now?
Well, I mean, Bennett I trained since he was 16, so he's probably the closest to me as far as that. And, you know, but I was real happy to see him do his thing. I was happy to see Adam Cole and all the guys from Ring of Honor, Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish and Tommaso. I mean, I've known Tommaso since his first couple months in wrestling. And, you know, and then the War Raiders debuted and, you know, Todd Hanson I've known since he was 15, you know. You're noticing a pattern here, guys. I've known everybody since they were teenagers. That's how old I am. But that's one of the things that's coolest is that I didn't have anything that weekend. That was my last week at the newspaper business. So I kind of,
you know, it was kind of a symbolic gesture. My last day was WrestleMania. So I got to kind of just sit back and enjoy everybody's success and just be happy for everybody and see everybody doing well. I mean, it's, and, you know, of course, Ring of Honor drawing 6,000 people and, you know, drawing a fantastic crowd and everybody doing well there and everybody doing well on those independent shows throughout the week. I mean, it was a great week. It was very, you know, it was a very satisfying week. And all my new friends that were doing well for themselves too. You know, I mean, we just found that, you know, Marm Stone, AKA Danny Burch, just got signed full time to NXT, and you know, Martin and I have become close over the past year, and you know, he's asked me for some advice, even though he's already tremendous, but you know, kind of like just a couple of things here and there, and I've asked him for some advice too, and now he's going to be teaming with one of my oldest friends,
Oney Lorcan,
Biff Busick, who grew up two towns away from me, and I've known him forever too, so it's a small world in wrestling, that's for sure.
Nice.
You know, and the last match I had with Martin Stone was him against Alex Chamberlain in Florida. And Alex was a kid from Maine who came to train with me when he was a kid. So it all comes full circle, you know? So it was a real satisfying week. And then, you know, Mike's doing his thing in WWE and kind of slipped up a little bit in the beginning. And now he's regrouping and in the best shape of his life and a new baby. And, you know, he's pushing to get back on TV on a regular basis. And I think he's going to get another chance. And boy, Tim knows this, we talked about this, Tim, several times, but they put a microphone in that guy's hand and they let him run with it. He's one of the best talkers in wrestling. So he's going to surprise some people if they give him a chance. And I don't think he's going to slip up this time.
Nice. My last question to you guys would be, what moment that you guys have had, or I should say your favorite moment, whether it be your favorite matches you guys have had with each other, your favorite role story you guys have had together, or like your biggest pop, or what are one of your guys' favorite moments together as a team?
To narrow it down to one certain thing is that's pretty hard for, I mean, my favorite moment is when we decided that we didn't need anybody else, that we could just do it on our own and just decided to go do it. And we did it on our own and we're still doing it on our own. So, I would say that was one of my favorite moments when we had a heart to heart and we're like, well, this isn't going to work out the way that we're doing this now. So we gotta do it this way. So we just decided that we were going to go on the road every weekend in and out and travel to these towns and drive, and now we're flying to some of these places. So I just think that it's just every weekend brings a completely different journey to a completely different place, and you know, we meet so many different people, and it's that's one of my favorite things is meeting all these different people and finding out that you know, like everybody has more in common than we think. And, you know, now I have friends in Alabama and I have friends in Michigan and I have friends in Europe and I have friends in Japan and I have friends all over the world that, you know,
you got
like
a friend in me.
I never knew I would have. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I have friends all over the world and I'm getting to do this with one of my best friends in the entire world and getting to meet all these different people and seeing how great people are as a whole, in this society where the news is telling you that people are not great. So, but yeah, so I'm so glad.
Get deep
to,
on us, man.
So
get deep on us. No.
Yeah, I'm so glad to meet all these great people, and we haven't met anybody that's been disrespectful. It's just nobody. It's been a great time, and I'm so glad for it to continue because it's not stopping anytime soon.
Nice. Bob, what about you? What are your favorite moments being a team with you guys?
I can think of a moment that's actually very recent. It was a couple weeks ago in Kansas. Had a great crowd there. Our friend Billy Simmons had really promoted his butt off, and we had about 400 people in this building, and they couldn't fit two anymore. So, and I guess the crowds had only been about 100, 150, and they really just promoted their behinds off and got 400 people in the building. So that was great. We were in a kind of a tough position because we were the baby faces and we were wrestling a baby face team. And not only were we wrestling a baby face team, it was two kids who were really, really quite green and really quite nervous. So, and then we came out and they liked those guys, and we came out and they didn't take to us. The first few seconds, they didn't take to us. And then I said, okay, we got this. And Tim was kind of vibing with me and got on the same track. And we just basically went out and shook every person's hand in the crowd and did about a 2 or 3 minute entrance, which is what we do anyway. But we're very crowd interactive. I mean, it's what we do. We like to be crowd pleasers. And so we went out there and so we ended up losing clean in the middle. And the crowd went crazy for the young guys, but then they went crazy for us too. And we managed to keep everybody exactly where they were as, you know, favorites, you know, baby faces and still be on the good guy side, but really win over the respect and love of a crowd we had never been in front of. And, you know, Tim was quite taken aback by that, but I said, well, this is why we practice so hard. This is why we work so hard to be interactive with the crowd, so we're confident, and when we get in front of these people, we'll win them over. If they, even if they don't take to us right away, or they don't know who we are or what we do, we'll win them over fairly quickly. So it's basically just about 100 reps in 37 states all paying off a couple weeks ago in a difficult circumstance. So, and that's pretty much, you know, what we do is we just, you know, change hearts, change minds, keep everybody positive as best we can, keep everybody happy, and just spread the word that there's a lot of great people out there in wrestling and out of wrestling. Again, I haven't really met, you know, I hear some of the well, old timers and not so old timers say, oh, the disrespectful kids and all this, and all these wrestlers, they're all disrespectful and they're jerks and all this. And I haven't met any. And I don't just watch how they treat me, because they can treat me one way, but I watch how they treat other people. I haven't seen it. So I think that's kind of a narrative that people have to kind of put away and realize that it is a lot of good people out there. So, but yeah, that just pointed to the Kansas thing. And it was just kind of a lot of hard work manifesting itself into a positive experience. So really no crazy stories, because we just kind of, I mean, we're just idiots that just kind of do our thing, and it's not really nothing really crazy happens, because we're probably the craziest guys out there, so nothing really affects us too much. So, you know, if somebody weird at the store, we just kind of say, oh, they must be one of us, they're as weird as we are. And you know, what's weird is normal, and what's normal is weird, as you know, in this business. So, you know,
absolutely,
yeah.
There it is, man. I definitely definitely want to thank you guys for coming on the show. You guys definitely had a lot to learn from. I hope the guys who are listening pick up a lot of what you guys are putting down around the town. we had a couple laughs and things like that. Why don't you give the people your social media one more time? Or like in your next show, where they can find you.
Go ahead, Tim.
All right. You can find me at Tough Timmy on Twitter, at Tough Timmy H on Instagram, Facebook.com/Mr. Good News with a Z on Facebook. You can friend me. I'm a friendly guy. I still have about 800 friends to go before I hit that limit. So friend me. I'm around, and that's it. Yeah, you can find all our dates on the Hangs with Bob page, Hangs with Bob and wrestling and seminars. But and then there's Bob. Here you go, Bob. Sending it over to you.
Oh, thank you. Facebook.com, Brutal Bob Evans, @BrutalBob Evans at Twitter, and Brutal_Bob_Evans at Instagram. And, you know, feel free to hit me up if there's any questions, or if this
jogs anybody's memory, or if something, somebody has a question that we weren't clear on, feel free to message Tim or I, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. So always happy to answer questions. So
thanks,
no problem at all. But, you know, yeah, thank you so much for having us on, man. It's been a good experience. Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. You know, and definitely let us know when you're coming to Michigan.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
And as y'all know,
we still like.
Oh, go ahead. I got a lag on my
No, I was just saying thanks for coming on.
For those of you listening, I am Tony Thunder. You can just search Tony Thunder, I guess. KO3CPod.com for all my social medias. Kyle, did you want to say something else?
And you can, you're all good. I just I wanted to thank them for coming on, and was saying they definitely have to let us know when they're coming to Michigan so we can come check them out. And
we will definitely do that, guys. You guys have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Cool, thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good night. All right.
And before we get out of here, you can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit N-O-K-O-U-T on Twitter and Instagram. On Facebook, you can find me at Kyle Collison. Follow the Knockouts and Three Counts podcast page to see what good guests we're going to be bringing to you. And also, before I get out of here, I'd be remiss not to... Yeah, well, I didn't get to that part yet. But before I get out of here, shout out to past guest of the show and friend of the show, Miles Jury, on getting a big fight July 14th in Idaho for the UFC against Chad Money Mendez for Miles Jury. Check that out for the UFC, man. Definitely big shout out on that one. And stay tuned. And fuck your couch. That's my shit. Fuck you.